We're in the middle of our series here on living a legacy, talking about mentorship and the value of having a good mentor or being a good mentee and what the blessing that can be to your life, how it pulls out the potential of God in you.
Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you're with us today here in the lounge. Mm-hmm. Praise God. We're in the middle of a series. We're talking about living a life of legacy. That's right, living a life of legacy. Not leaving a legacy, living a life of legacy. What does it mean to actually live with purpose? What does it mean to have people above you that are pouring into you? What does it mean to be pouring into people? Mentoring, mentorship, being a mentee. That is a real word, mentee. I looked it up. Being a mentee, someone who's mentored. We look at these things. We looked at Timothy and Paul, and we looked at the way that Timothy received from Paul and the way that Paul mentored Timothy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 2 has been our key scripture about the things that you've learned amongst many witnesses. Go and teach these to faithful men,
but
also teach them to others. So it's a legacy. It's going on, not just about us. It's going on to the next person. You have a legacy to live. God has people for you to influence and people to influence you in good things, praise God. So I want to encourage you, you can live a legacy. And at the moment we're looking at what does it mean to be a mentor? What's good characteristics of a mentor? What's the mentor's good characteristics? And if you have someone who's mentoring you, someone who's looking over you, someone who's pouring into you, then what characteristics have they got? And if you are pouring into someone else, really all of us in the body of Christ should have people that we're receiving from and people that we're giving out to.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever age you are, whether you're 9 or 90, you can be receiving and you can be giving, praise God. And I believe it's God's model. Ultimately, the Word of God's our answer. The Holy Spirit's our mentor, our teacher. But the Lord will use people to draw out the good things that are already inside of us. The Lord will use people to draw out the good things inside of you. And, you know, our program goes out around the world, literally, to hundreds of millions of households. So I know there's people watching and listening today that might be saying, well, I'm not sure if I've got anyone around me that I can receive from in person. But, you know, there's ways you can receive. You can receive from media outlets. You can receive from programs like this, from ministries that are teaching ministries. You can receive from reading books about people, listening to podcasts, listening to content. You can receive from people by listening to them and without even being one-on-one with them.
Right. Making yourself a student.
When the student's ready, the instructor will appear.
That's
praise
right.
God. So we're looking at the characteristics of a good mentor and what their characteristics are like. We're not saying anyone's perfect, but we're saying that if someone's mentoring you, if you're receiving from someone, really they should be showing some of these characteristics. We already looked at some of these. The first one we looked at was they're selfless. They're not making it about themselves. They're not selfish.
Yep.
They're selfless and they're actually making it more about the student than about them.
They want you to win.
Amen. A good mentor wants their students to win. Yeah. A good mentor wants their student to go beyond them. You know, Jesus said that the works that I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these. So even Jesus wanted his students, his disciples, to go beyond him.
Yep.
You know, Paul wanted Timothy to go beyond him, and I believe that a good mentor wants their students. They're going to celebrate their students' wins, and they're going to want their students to go beyond them. You know, the mentor's hundredfold should really be the student's 30-fold, should be their starting point. And I believe that's how, you know, we start on our spiritual father's shoulders, if you like. We start on our mentor's shoulders and go on from there. So you should want your students, the people you're mentoring, to go beyond you. The second one we looked at was their legacy focus. They're focused on the future. They're focused on more than just, you know, this one relationship. They're focused on how the goodness of God, the character of God can be shown, the love of God can be spread through these relationships. They're legacy focused. And the third thing I want to look at, we've already looked at this one as well, is they're successful. Mm. They have some wins. They have fruit.
Yep.
Someone who's going to teach you something. I don't want to learn from someone.
They know what they're talking about.
He doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to learn from someone who's I remember one time we had one of these gift experiences, and me and my dad, we went on one of these flight gift experiences. I don't know if you've seen those, but you get to go up and fly in a plane. So I went first.
Like a little plane.
Like a little two-seater plane, And I went first, and I got up there, and I looked, and the pilot looked very young. I mean, very young.
You look like a teenager.
You look like a teenager to me. And I got worried. I was like, I'm not sure if I'm happy about this. Like, I hope this guy knows what he's doing.
Now, why would you make that assumption?
Because he's very young, that means I must be old.
You figured he can't have a lot of experience.
Exactly. And it turned out that he had he was like super experienced. He had hundreds of hours of flying experience and he knew how to fly this plane. He was a very good pilot. I did not know how to fly the plane. So I was pleased that he knew because there's just the two of us up there. But I did ask him, I said, you know, how long have you been doing this for? He said, I've been doing this for years. I think he said something like 10 or 12 years.
Yep.
And he said, I've got so many hundreds of hours of flying experience. He said, but this is my first solo flight in this particular plane. Now that didn't bless me. I was like, God, all of a sudden my prayer life went to another level.
But look,
I was
here.
We landed, we were fine, we made it, praise God. I've got another friend who flies. He said, if anybody said, I think I could fly a plane. And my other friend was a pilot and he said, are you sure? He said, no, I could fly a plane. He said, I think I could almost fly this plane. And he said, you know what? Almost flying this plane is basically crashing. You're not really going to
almost landing.
Almost landing.
Same as crashing.
So I don't want someone who thinks they know what they're doing. And they don't know who they're doing. I'm telling you, we don't know what they're doing. We need people with experience. And whether you're looking for mentorship in ministry, in pastoring, or leading worship, or whatever it is, you know, at the moment our son is learning how to lead worship.
Yeah.
And he's being mentored, if you like, by the worship pastor, the senior worship pastor. And he's pouring into him. And it's awesome because what's happening is our son is learning these things. He's learning how to deal with people, how to choose songs, how to lead worship in a public setting, yeah. All these things, his relationship with God and things like that. And that's so important. So if a good mentor should have experience in the area that they're mentoring you in.
Now, it's interesting because they don't necessarily have to be older than you.
Right. In years.
But they do need to be more experienced than you.
Amen.
In order
point.
To impart something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of the time I would say people that are mentoring you usually tend to be older in years. But yeah, you're right. They can be older in years. Let me reverse that. They can be older in years, but not older in experience. Don't have great experience in that area.
And
just sometimes
area.
We think just because someone's old, they must have experience. They say that if you have 10,000 hours experience in something, it makes you an expert. So whatever your trade is or whatever you do, if you've got 10,000 hours experience, it makes you an expert. My argument is, what if those 10,000 hours are bad experience?
It's
I mean, seriously. I'm just saying, like, you know, he's got 10,000 hours experience in whatever.
They
he must be
really,
good.
Really experienced at what not to do.
What if they've been doing it wrong for 10,000 hours? I'm just saying. So anyway, so make sure the person you're receiving from actually has experience, actually been there and done it. Praise God. He's got some battle scars. It can actually walk you through some things because they're the people we're going to learn from. So make sure they're successful, their fruit. Jesus said, by their fruit, you'll know them. By their fruit, you'll know them. You'll see their fruit. You'll see that. What have they done? Where have they been? And we said this last time, but a lot of time people want to give advice to you. People want to help you and give advice when they've never had any experience in that area themselves.
Mm.
Whatever that is, they can try and give advice and they haven't even had experience themselves. They're just giving book knowledge, if you like.
Right.
We want beyond book knowledge. We want experience, praise God. We want tried and tested experience.
Right. So they're successful in some areas.
Successful. Mm-hmm. The fourth one we got here is they're resistant.
What
a good mentor will actually be a little bit resistant. I know you think resistant in a healthy way. Resistant in a healthy way. Let's look at, this is Elisha and Elijah. And this is a great example of, we're talking about mentor and mentees. We're talking about the living a legacy. And this is Elisha and Elijah. And Elisha was told that he was going to go, or Elijah, I should say. Elijah was told he was going to go and anoint Elisha. And God told him, go and choose Elisha. He's going to be the one who takes over your ministry. Basically, he's going to be the one who takes your prophetic ministry. And Elisha found Elisha in the field. He was plowing. That's another whole teaching right there. It's amazing. Elijah found Elisha working. He was plowing his fields. Jesus found his disciples working.
Mm-hmm.
He said, follow me. They were fishing. Follow me. They were tax collecting. Follow me. They were actually working, busy in their trade, in the marketplace.
Right. They didn't find people to mentor that had more than enough time on their hands.
Just sit in the prayer closet.
Isn't that interesting?
Just sit in the prayer closet praying. You know what? I'm not against praying, sitting in your prayer closet, but I'm telling you, 2/3 of God's name is go.
Mm-hmm.
Pray and also go and do something. Put your hand to something. Make something happen. Say, well, I don't know what to do. Just do something, lest you do nothing. Do something. Go and find someone to serve. Go and find a church to serve at. Go and find a ministry to volunteer at. Mm-hmm. Go and find whatever it is. Go and serve. I heard a story one time of a guy. He went to a large retail superstore. I guess I'm allowed to say it on television, but it's Walmart. And for the Americans, it's Walmart. Because they don't understand me when I say Walmart. But anyway, it's the big store here in America. And They asked for a job and they didn't give him a job, so he got no jobs available. So he turned up every day and swept the sidewalks and started cleaning the outside of this Walmart superstore. And after about the third day, the manager said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm cleaning your store." He said, "But you don't work here." He said, "No, I'm volunteering." He said, "Come on in, I'll hire you." And he hired him. So it's a little bit of a crazy example, but you can do something. Put your hand to something, even if it's voluntary. Put your hand to something. Jesus found his disciples working. Elisha here found Elijah found Elisha working. He was plowing the fields. And we'll pick this up in 1 Kings 19:19, it said, "So he departed, Elijah, he departed and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him." So picture this, Elijah just walked right past Elisha and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen, so Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and mother and then I will follow you." And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? It's verse 20. Go back again, what have I done for you? Elijah's attitude here was almost resistant to Elisha. He made it almost difficult for him to follow him. Elisha turned back. He doesn't say if he said goodbye to his parents or not, but he did turn back. Mm-hmm. He actually got his oxen that he was using. He actually slaughtered them and used his plow to actually as fuel to make a fire to cook the oxen.
He burnt his bridges.
He basically burnt his equipment he was using to plow the fields, and then he followed Elijah.
You could say that he really understood what it meant to be committed.
Yeah, he was all in. Elisha was all in and followed Elijah. But Elijah here was a little bit resistant. And what I want to say is, you know, a good mentor will give some healthy resistance. And I mean this in the best way, but if you have someone come to you after advice and someone comes to you, wants your time and really wants you to help them, give them some sort of homework, give them something to do, give them an assignment. The proof of desire is in the pursuit.
Yeah.
The proof of desire is in the pursuit. If you really want something, you're going to pursue it. And I have people come to me, and a lot of the time I say to them, "Hey, go and do this, read this book. You know, read my book. If you want financial advice, read my book." And they say, "I haven't got time for that," or "No, I don't like reading," or whatever. I say, "Well, get the audio version or whatever, but read this book. I'll go to this website and do this. And then once you've done this, then come back to me."
Yeah.
And nine people out of ten won't even do that first step.
So they're not going to get the benefit because they're not committed to the instruction.
Right.
And you know, a mentor is not the same as a cheerleader. They're not going to be there to just say, "Oh, you're wonderful, you're awesome, everything you do is perfect, yay," and stroke your emotions. If we really want to see the power of a godly mentor in our life, sometimes that's going to rub us up the wrong way.
Yeah.
That's going to challenge us. It's going to stretch us in some areas. It's going to hold us accountable. And it takes humility and commitment to submit yourself to somebody and enable them, give them the permission to speak into your life, to address those things, because you know they have your heart and your best, they're looking out for your best interests.
Yeah.
You know, there's a man, Jesus actually withstood somebody. I'm thinking, this is the healing of the Gadarene demoniac. This is in Mark chapter 5. So this is the man that Jesus gets in the boat. He goes across through the storm, goes to the other side. He's bound. He's in chains. He's outside, isolated from his community. They call him Legion because he had many demons. He gets completely delivered, okay? But I want to pick up the story after the point where Jesus delivers this man. In verse 15 of Mark chapter 5, it says, "They came to Jesus and saw him who had been possessed with the legion of demons sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who saw it told how it befell him who had been possessed with the demons, and also concerning the swine, they asked Jesus to leave." But in verse 18, look at this. When he entered the boat, Jesus, he's about to leave here, okay? He's seen the man delivered. He's about to leave. He says he entered the boat. He had been possessed with the demons, prayed. This is in the modern English version. It says prayed him that he might be with him. In other translations, he begged him. Or he beseeched him, okay? And I thought, man, this seems a bit strange because it actually says Jesus did not let him. He wanted Jesus to stay. He wanted it to. He didn't want to leave Jesus. And Jesus, he did not let him. But he said to him instead, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you." The man listened to this instruction. He says he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done, and everyone was amazed. Now, there's a lot in this because I think oftentimes if we've if we haven't had an experience, it's kind of like when a baby chick first hatches, whatever they see, they bond with. That's my mother. Right. That's my father. You know, when we've been through a trial, we can find ourselves real vulnerable. And in that state, whoever it is that comes out next, we can want to bond to that person naturally. OK, and that's great if it's Jesus. OK, but just be aware that you can be vulnerable. And, you know, in looking for a mentor in your life, you can be easily manipulated. That's just a side issue there, okay? But in this example here, Jesus says, rather than come with me, come join my clan, right, come join my band of disciples, that word beseeched, begged, it actually means to call to be by my side or to comfort. He wanted mentoring from Jesus. Mm. In our modern day English, we'd be saying he's asking Jesus to be his life coach,
right,
to be his mentor, right? Right? But rather than that, Jesus says, listen, you've been delivered, and he set him back into the very things, into the very place where he'd come from,
right,
in over the very things that the devil had stolen from him.
Wow.
You know, the devil stole from him his identity, his money, he isolated him, and Jesus says, look at what you've given, now go and use what I've given you. He actually sent him back, he gave him homework to do.
Right.
And look at the result. When he went back, people were amazed. There was compassion. It was everywhere. Everyone was amazed at what had happened to this man. It was a testimony.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, and so sometimes if your mentor resists you, there's a bigger purpose in that. It's a good thing.
Amen. It really is. Healthy resistance, a good thing. And, you know, done in love, again, the first characteristic of the mentor we looked at was being selfless. If they're actually doing it for your own good, if they're esteeming others higher than themselves, then they're doing that selflessly.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they're resisting you, it's for your own good. And you know what? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Sometimes people aren't ready to receive. Sometimes people need to go and do a little bit of homework, go and do something first before they receive this message. Amen. Hey, before I share this last point, we've got some exciting news we want to share with you. These things are going to empower you in the promises of God, praise God. So let's watch these together.
God has chosen you. The word says he's ordained you. He's set you apart that you might bear fruit and that your fruit might remain. You know, he wants you to make a lasting impact in this world. He wants you to live legendary.
Amen. So go to the website terradesministries.com/legendary and check out this month's growth track. It's going to really help you, praise God.
In these short television programs, we really don't have enough time to be able to go into depth on everything that God has for you on the subject of living legendary. So we have more information, more teaching resources available to you on our website via these growth tracks.
Hey man, we've got lots of free teachings. You can get product coupons. You can sign up and get devotionals on this subject. So go to our website, terradesministries.com/legendary. I'm telling you, you want to be a part of this. It's awesome. Hey everyone, we're looking at what does it mean to live a life of legacy, praise God. We looked at some characteristics, and before we carry on with that, we have a question. And, you know, we encourage people, communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to terradesministries.com and write your questions. You can also leave us testimonies. We'd love to hear from you. So we have a question here. Yep. We're going to attempt to answer. I always say we're going to attempt to answer because...
I have full confidence in you.
That we're going to be able to answer it. I'm answering it. We'll answer it together.
I'm asking it, so okay. You get to answer it. This is from Glenn, and Glenn wrote in to say, frequently during during prayer times, when I'm praying in tongues and in Bible studies, I experience evil, ungodly thoughts that are difficult to control. If this occurs while praying in tongues, is my prayer effective, or do I need to do it again with a clean heart and a clean mind?
That's a great question. You know, here's the thing about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is so important. If you're born again, you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. You just ask God, say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. He wants you to be filled with his Holy Spirit more than you want to be, praise God. But the infilling of the Holy Spirit is for every born-again believer. That's the truth. And the normal Christian life, the normal experience for a believer is to have their own personal prayer language. Mm-hmm. In fact, in Acts, there's over 20 times where people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And out of 20 times, 19 times, there was visible evidence that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They prayed in tongues. That was the visible evidence that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So, yes, you can be a Christian without being Spirit-filled. You can be a Christian without praying in tongues. But you're not going to be living the full Christian life. You're not going to be getting the benefit. I say to people, living the Christian life without being filled with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. is like a car without gas, a car without petrol. It's not going to do what it's designed to do. So I want to tell you that the praying in the Holy Spirit is so important. But I do want to say this. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, it's your spirit praying to God's spirit.
Yeah, perfect.
It bypasses, it bypasses your natural thinking. So it is possible to pray in tongues, pray in your prayer language, pray in the Holy Spirit, whatever terminology you use, and have ungodly thoughts at the same time.
Yeah.
Because your mind isn't engaging. Your mind's not renewed yet. It's renewed by scripture and stuff, mm-hmm. but our minds ultimately aren't involved when we pray in the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important when you pray in the Holy Spirit to not listen to your thoughts too much. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they'll start to pray in the Holy Spirit, they'll start to pray in their prayer language, and their natural minds will say, you're doing this wrong. You don't sound like brother so-and-so when he mm-hmm. does it. You're just making it up. You sound crazy. And they won't pray in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Or they'll pray in tongues for a little bit, and after a few seconds or a few minutes, their natural thinking is like, you're wasting your time. Why are you doing this? That's why it takes faith to pray in tongues. Mm. So, you know, Jude 20 and 21 says, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. You keep yourself in the love of God. I want to encourage you, Glenn. I want to encourage you, Glenn. You know, don't let the devil condemn you for having ungodly thoughts. You know, the devil will give you thoughts. You know, the devil gave Jesus thoughts in Luke 4. In Luke 4, Jesus had to deal with the devil, and the devil gave Jesus thoughts and said, why don't you turn this stone into bread? Mm-hmm. Why don't you jump off this steeple? Why don't you bow the knee to me? He gave some suggestions. Mm-hmm. We can't control what comes into our thought life, but we can control what we meditate on, what we let dwell there. I believe it was Kenneth Hagin said, you know, you can't stop a bird landing on your head, but you can stop it making a nest.
Right.
So if you have that fleeting thought, then you replace that thought with a good thought.
Yeah, and you know, your question about is my prayer still effective? When we pray in tongues, we pray in the perfect will of God. Your prayer when you pray in tongues is always effective.
Yeah.
But if evil thoughts and things that are ungodly are coming to your mind, as we were saying, your mind is in the process of being renewed. I would take a look at what you've been meditating on because your thought can be prompted by suggestions from the enemy, like Ashley was saying, or it could just be something that's coming up out of your own flesh. So be careful of what you're meditating on, what you're watching, what you're reading, and think about some of those sources of input that you're being exposed to, because sometimes what we're thinking on is just a result of what we've been exposed to.
Amen. It really is. You know, garbage in, garbage out is the computer term, you know, and it, whatever you're feeding yourself on. So I'd encourage you, feed yourself with the Word of God. Feed yourself with the truth. In fact, Paul puts it this way in Philippians 4, verse 8. In Philippians 4, verse 8, he gives us a whole criteria of what things to think on, what things to meditate on. And you might say, actually, how can I just choose to think on something different? Well, you take that thought captive, and as that thought comes in, you say, that's not a godly thought. And instead of trying not to think of it, I'm not going to think that anymore. That doesn't work. Reminds me of Ghostbusters, that old film when we was kids. Don't think about the Marshmallow Man. They thought about the Marshmallow Man right away. I've lost some people right there. But if you try and tell yourself, don't think about something, you're naturally going to think about it.
You have to replace it with the truth.
You replace it with a truth. So look at that list of things, Philippians 4:8. Think about those things. Meditate on those things. Start thanking God. Read scripture. I'll often pray in tongues, and while I'm praying in tongues, because I believe in praying in tongues in long periods of time, I believe when we pray in tongues, you're praying the perfect prayers, as Carly said, you're praying the hidden mysteries of God, but I'll pray in tongues, then I'll read scripture at the same time while I'm praying in tongues, so that my mind is being renewed while I'm praying in tongues. So you could do it. Don't let the devil condemn you, and remember, you had the victory, praise God. You're born again, you had the victory, and you just keep doing it. You keep praying in tongues, and you watch your thoughts start changing. You take those thoughts captive and focus on the Word of God.
Yeah.
So we're right in the middle here of a series called Leaving a Legacy, or Living a Legacy.
Yeah.
So most people say Leaving a Legacy. We've titled this Living a Legacy.
So we've been going through various points on characteristics of a mentor.
Yep.
And the next point we have here is a mentor. One of the characteristics is they'll be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be challenging. Now, they're encouraging, but they're challenging.
Not challenging like, oh, she's challenging.
They will challenge you.
Not like, oh, she's challenging. We're talking about they'll challenge.
Yeah. So constructive criticism.
Yes.
Right? And this is something that we need to make sure that we understand. If we're going to be a mentee and have an effective relationship with somebody that's speaking into our life, if we're so fragile that we can't take constructive criticism from somebody that has our best interests at heart, we've got some issues there.
Uh-oh. You mean like
easily offended. Just crushed by the smallest critique. That means there's some deep set insecurity there.
Right.
And that's a whole other issue of the heart that we need to address.
It really is. And what we're saying about criticism or being challenging really is a mentor should have our best interest at heart. It's not about them. They're selfless. They've got our best interest in heart. So therefore, they will tell us things. They'll tell us. In fact, a good mentor will challenge you. A good mentor will actually warn you about things and challenge you. I like this proverb. Proverbs 27 verse 6. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend,
yeah,
but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." So basically, what that's saying is, you know, flattery and people saying, "Oh, you're awesome, you're doing great all the time."
It might make you feel good in the moment, yeah, but it doesn't really help you improve.
Right. In fact, some people use flattery as a way of manipulation or a way of getting their own way done. Whereas a true friend, a true mentor, will sometimes hurt you, if you like, with what they've got to tell you, because they're going to tell you the truth in love. Paul said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And if someone says, you know, I have various mentors in my life, they said to me, "Actually, you're doing this wrong," it might hurt me at the time, but I'm like, I'm going to consider it. I'm going to take it to the Lord and say, "No, I think they're right. I'm doing this wrong. I need to change in this area." Yeah. And I've taken that correction myself a number of times, and it's good to be corrected. It's refreshing to be corrected by someone who loves you and wants the best for you.
Yeah, and it's really important that we know the source.
Amen.
Right, so that source of that criticism and the spirit behind it, is it done in love?
Amen.
Is it done for your betterance? Or is it just done to tear you down? You know, but if we're submitting to a mentor that's godly, it's going to be done in love. Now, even if you don't agree with it, even if you don't see it, I'd encourage you to take that constructive criticism, right, before the Lord, as you're saying, and just say, "Lord, you know, Holy Spirit, He leads us into all truth."
Amen.
Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Show me how this applies to me. Help me to see. Because sometimes we're just blindsided by, yep, some things, right? Yep. We have some blind spots. What's glaringly obvious to other people aren't necessarily obvious to us. You know, girlfriends, you'll understand this. If you've got broccoli hanging out your teeth, you want one of your girlfriends to tell you you've got broccoli hanging out your teeth, right? Yep. That's what friends do. It's good for you. It doesn't make you feel good in the moment, but isn't it better in the long run?
We talk about if our flies are down. Just the other day,
oh my goodness,
I was in a situation, I went up to a brother and I put my arm around him, and he's like, "Hey," I said, "just let you know, you're fine." And he was just about to go on stage.
Your zipper's down.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. His zipper was down. So, yeah, you're right. And at the time, it might be awkward or whatever. That's just a silly example, right? But what he's saying is they're saying that in love because they want the best for you.
Yeah.
You know, a mentor, a little bit like a coach, is going to stretch you. It's going to get the best out of you. It's going to draw out the best things that God's put in you out. And a good coach will stretch you, challenge you, take you further than you knew you could go, and get the most out of you, get the best out of you. And God has deposited good things in you.
Come on.
Wherever you're watching from and listening from today, God has deposited good things in you. You've got everything you need. You are empowered. You're equipped. And you know what? God's going to want to draw that out. He'll draw that out through His Word. He'll draw that out through His Holy Spirit. And He'll use people often to draw that out of us, praise God. Mm-hmm. So a good mentor, they're selfless. They're legacy focused. They're focused on the future. They want you to win. They're successful. They have fruit. They've been there. They've done that. They've got some victories under their belt. They're resistant. They'll often helpfully resist you. They'll give you homework, give you things to do, and they'll challenge you. They'll make the best, you know, they'll get the best out of you, if you like.
Yeah.
They'll make you feel challenged, but ultimately they're doing it for your own good. And if you have a good mentor, if you have someone who loves you and mentors you right, it's a good thing.
That's growth.
And if you don't know anyone in the natural to mentor you, someone physically, then I'd encourage you, keep in touch with good ministries, listen to good teachings, podcasts, videos, things like that, read books, and you could be mentored, praise God, in that way as well. So,
amen.
So,
you want to pray for people?
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for everyone watching today. I thank you, Lord, for people watching. I thank you, Lord, that they have been fully equipped by you. And I thank you, Lord, as they're receiving from you, Lord, and maybe as they're giving out to others, I thank you, Lord, that you use relationships to show us your love. You use relationships to show us your goodness. And right now, everyone listening to my voice, right now, I speak a blessing over them.
Amen.
I speak increase over them. And I thank you, Lord, you only have good things for them. Lord, we thank you today. You're a good God, and you only have good for us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for being with us. Remember, don't just settle for living a normal life. Go out today and live the abundant life. We'll see you soon.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, or call us at 719-600-3344.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on this series, Living a Life of Legacy. Go to our website, TerraDesMinistries.com. You're going to find a bunch of free resources and ways you can connect with us. So connect with us today. We'll look forward to it.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com.